Ben Yoyne ben Avrom. Sefer Shari Avoida. As mentioned, that Ben Yoyne was born in Gerona in the year 1180. And it was the Talmud of one of the great Rishonim, Reb Shloimeh Minahar. Reb Shloimeh Minahar is one of the Rishonim that we're not very much familiar with it. He's called Reb Shloimeh Minahar. It was also Rabbeinu Avraham Minahar. Minahar basically means, because in France, Montpellier, which is a mountain, Reb Shloimeh Minahar, Montpellier. Reb Shloimeh is the Rebbe of Rabbeinu Yoyne, the contemporaries, was the Ramban, also the Yad Ramah. The Yad Ramah, of course, in Olam HaYeshivas, Yad Ramah is Rabbeinu Meir HaLevi Abulafia. Rabbeinu Meir HaLevi, basically, he lived in Toledo, and it was Nipta in Toledo, in 1244. And interesting that the Yad Ramah in Olam HaYeshivas, which you might be familiar with, is the Sefer Yad Ramah, which is on Masechet Bava Basra, a number of Chalokim there. You know, Mashiach is a very, very popular Rishon. Also, Yad Ramah, we find in Masechet Sanhedrin as well. And the Yad Ramah, at a young age already, we find that it was a great Talmudist, and we find that Ramban used to seek his halachic opinion of the Yad Ramah, Rabbeinu Meir HaLevi. And when at a young age, his family, they moved to Toledo, basically. And ultimately, he became the rabbi of Toledo, and he was referred to the title of Nosi. Being Nosi means like the prince and the head of the entire region. What was not uncommon in those days, you have to realize, and the Yad Ramah himself was one of those who opposed very much the study of philosophy. And seeing it that basically they felt it was a danger to the wholesome belief in Judaism, that one could understand. And because Judaism, basically, they believed is based on a faith and not on philosophy. Philosophy is something that you try to figure out with your own seichel, with your own mind. That sometimes can be quite dangerous. And therefore, Judaism basically is something which is based on faith, which has been transmitted down generation by generation. And also, philosophy sometimes is not always in tune with Talmud and tradition. And so forth. Therefore, not to follow the works of Aristotle at the time, which was quite popular, and other non-Jews. So in the year 1200, Rabbeinu Meir, as he sends a letter to the scholars of Lunel in Provence, he sends a letter criticizing, he says, certain philosophical views expressed in the Rambam's writings. So as you're well aware, that the Rambam was not always accepted by all, you know, as is accepted today. We're talking about now in the area of the philosophical works of the Rambam. One sefer in particular, which is the Meir and the Vayichim, which is the sefer, the guide to the perplexed, that the Rambam wrote, which is quite a bit of philosophy in there. And there was a lot of opposition from peers. And therefore, Rabbeinu Meir was also one of those who was very much against that. Was very much against Rambam's writings. And he says, that the sages of the time to prohibit studying it. They should not be allowed to learn it. And unless you are at a certain designated age. In other words, when you're a certain designated age, then a person is already pretty strong and firm in his beliefs. So then you can open up yourself also to study other disciplines as well, such as philosophy in this particular case. And we're not worried about the dangers. But before a person has a solid foundation, until a certain age, they wanted to prohibit it. And that's what we're saying. The Rebbe Meir was one of those who stood at the forefront to try to have it prohibited. And his plea was not very successful. Was not very successful, and was met with strong opposition, because the Rambam had his, let's put it this way, had his fans as well. We're not talking about the fans, we're talking about great people, you know, not just the general public, we're talking about people of great minds as well. And so the interesting thing is that the letters of that can be found. They found quite a bit of letters. It's called Igreis Ramah, the letters of the Ramah, and which was printed first time in Paris in 1871. But you find correspondence regarding that whole situation. In any case, so this is the Yad Ramah, again one of the great Rishonim. As we mentioned, Ramban used to seek his halachic opinion as well. So Rabbeinu Shloimeh Minahar, again going back, Rabbeinu Shloimeh Minahar, who was the Rebbe of Rabbeinu Yoyne, of the Sefer that we are learning, Rabbeinu Yoyne. So again, his contemporaries were the Ramban, his contemporaries were the Ramah, Rabbeinu Meir HaLevi. And he treated him with great respect. When they mention Rabbeinu Shloimeh Minahar with great respect and admiration, and the Rajba later on, as we find also in his Chidushim, also quotes halachic decisions from Rabbeinu Shloimeh Minahar. Do you realize we're talking about someone who is very highly respected? And again, as mentioned, he was the Rebbe of Rabbeinu Yoyne. He also, like the Yad Ramah, very much, and possibly you can say he was the most fiercest opponent against the Rambam, Rabbeinu Shlomo Nahor. And again, he felt that the philosophical works, which is the Moed Nevuchim, would endanger people's pure faith, you know, which is dealing with Torah and so on. So Rabbeinu Shlomo sent two of his Talmidim. One of his Talmidim, again, was Rabbeinu Yoina. He sent them out. He said to pronounce his sentence of excommunication. That time, really, I'm talking about in the 1200s, to send out a sentence of excommunication on these books. That is, these books are not to be studied. So the Rambam Svarim, because the deal with philosophy should not be studied. Atkadei kach, that when they put a cherem upon it, and this was after the exact date was in 1232. That's when they actually put out a sentence of excommunication to anybody who studies the works of the Rambam. And we mentioned that not everybody agreed with it. So here too, Shlomo Menahor did not gain full support from the rabbis in Provence, but the rabbis in northern France, many of them did concur with him. He had a lot of support from them. But you can realize there were two camps on each side, for the Rambam and against the Rambam. And that fierce controversy, right, between the Rambam and Reb Shlomo's camps continued even after Reb Shlomo passed away. Shlomo passed away in the year 1240, but nevertheless, this controversy still very much continues. So, as we said, so Rabbeinu Shlomo Nahor put up one of his Talmidim, as we said, Rabbeinu Yoina, to be one of those very much involved to help in his, as we say, in his crusade, you know, against the Rambam. So this is the way it was. But I think we mentioned on Tisha B'Av, we mentioned maybe when we come to the particular area of the Kina that deals with that, with about the composition of the eulogy or the kinnah that was composed because of the burning of the Talmud, which is the end of Tisha B'Av. The kinnah is the sefer there. It happens to be Shali Srufa Beish, as we know. So when 24 wagon loads of Talmud were burnt by the church at the same spot in Paris where the Rambam's Moir and the Vuchim, by the way, had been burnt 9 years earlier. It was happening. 24 wagon loads of Talmud were burnt in Paris by the church, in the same place where 9 years earlier the Svarim of the Rambam were burnt. So Ben Yonah saw in this that there's a divine reproach, that this is a punishment for burning the Rambam Svarim. The fact that the Rambam Svarim, right, were burnt and sentenced to that thing, that so he says, Shemayim, so there was a divine reproach coming back and says, as a punishment for that, we're going to show that on the same spot we're going to have the Talmud burnt, and there was 24 wagon loads. That, as a result, caused a complete change of heart of Ben Yonah. Whereas before he was against the Rambam, because of what he saw, 24 wagon loads of Talmud burnt in the same spot where the Rambam's books were burnt, he said, there's something wrong. Shemayim is telling me it was very wrong. And therefore, Rabbeinu Yoina had a very devoted Talmud. It was Rabbeinu Hillel of Verona. And we were in Verona in our trip to Italy. You know, we took the heritage trip. We were in Verona, as a matter of fact. I think we dammed Mincha there as well. We dammed there in the shul, a very beautiful shul, as a matter of fact. And there's an old amphitheater there, which goes back, I mean, which is exactly, if you would not have seen the one in Rome, it appears like the Colosseum in Rome, which goes back again, like 1500 years or so, which still exists today. It's not in full, it's a part of it, it's broken, it's been torn down, I mean, throughout the years, but you can still see quite a bit of it, and see the whole architecture of that amphitheater in Verona. Verona was a place where many Rishonim lived. We tried to find an old Beis HaChaim there, but nothing, everything has been wiped out. But in any case, so Rabbeinu Hillel of Verona, who lived in Verona, was a Talmud of Rabbeinu Yoina, and he relates that his Rebbe completely, he said that I have to do tshuva. And therefore, how do you do tshuva? If you're so much against the Rambam, right, and you ridiculed him, what do you do? He said, what I have to do is, I have to travel from Spain all the way to Eretz Yisrael, to go to Tveria, which is the cave of the Rambam, and to ask Mechila over there. And that's what he made up his mind to do. So Rabbeinu Yoina, all his life, who lives in Spain, right now he's setting out, he realizes he's in Girona. Girona is about 2 hours today by car from Barcelona. Right, it's northeast of Spain. So you don't do it like 1 minute, like they just get on a plane in those days. So what he does is, he goes on the way to Eretz Yisrael. He spent 3 years in Barcelona. Why? Why 3 years in Barcelona? Because of his great reputation. When he came to a place, they didn't let him leave. So they detained him in Barcelona for 3 years. And finally, ultimately, he says, I have to move on. So after 3 years, he set out to fulfill. He made a vow that he's going to Israel, he's going to Eretz Yisrael, because he wants to visit the cave of the Rambam in order to ask Mechila. So after that, he stops in Toledo, because that was the way on the way. In Toledo, again, they detained him. And while he was there, of course, he gave many, many lectures and many, many shurim over there. And the community did not want him to leave. And Hashem had different plans for him, and he passed away right there in Toledo. So Ben Yonah never made it to Eretz Yisrael, actually. He passed away in Toledo, and it was a very sudden thing. It was a very sudden thing, and never completed. When he passed away, he was mourned by all of Spanish Jewry, and the Ramban, who happened to be, as we said, his first cousin, because Ramban's mother was a sister to the father of Rabbi Yonah. So again, so they were first cousins. And we also had their mochotonim, because they had the children intermarry as well. So of course, as we know, one of the most famous farm of Rabbi Yonah is the Shari Tshuva. Some say, it's not clear, legend has it that he wrote the Sefer Shari Tshuva as doing tshuva, because I want to do tshuva, so he wrote a whole Sefer on tshuva, doing tshuva, and that he embarrassed and shamed the Rambam all these years when he was an opponent of that, so he wants to do tshuva. The best way to do tshuva is to write a whole Sefer on tshuva. It's called the Gates of Tshuva, it's called Shari Tshuva, and so on. So in any case, we mentioned among the Talmidim Rabbi Yonah, probably the most famous would be the Rajba. You don't need anybody greater than that. And we mentioned also again Rabbeinu Hillel of Verona and so on. These are the great Rishonim Talmidim of Rabbeinu Yonah. So we go now, let's go to the Sefer now that we have. We go to Shari HaAvodah. And it's on Daf Yud. It's Oiz Beis, paragraph Beis. Daf Yud really is right in the beginning. It's Daf Yud because the introduction takes up also pages. We had last week, which was in the first segment, if you might remember, in the first segment that we had last week was which Rabbi Yonah said the opening lines is that the Pesach Harishon says that the first opening, if you want a career, he says, in a person to serve in growing in Avodas Hashem in any way, so a person has to recognize his self-worth. A person has to understand that each and every person has tremendous worth in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and one has to really always be mindful that he is a Ben Melech, he's a son of royalty. That's the idea. So the idea is that a person should, when we live in an age that sometimes a person loses a lot of his self-esteem, that really is not just psychologically, which is not healthy, but also it stands as a barrier in the person, in one's growth in the service of being actually a good Jew, be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the proper way. So he says this is one of the most important things to keep studying and to keep remembering, to understand how important you are, because first of all, the Nisham, which comes from the Shemayim, which comes directly, which is a part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, and that has now been injected into every Yid. So every Jew has this holy neshama. Actually, every Yid is part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And therefore, a person should always be mindful of that. I just want to just read you before just a line or two just from Chaim Volozhin. Chaim Volozhin, actually, in Nefesh HaChaim, Sha'al of Perek Dalet, just two lines or so. And he says the following. Chaim Volozhin, we know, was a great Talmud of the Vilna Goyim. And he writes, Zoyis Torah So'odim. This is, he says, important teaching for every man called Ish Yisrael. Every Jewish person has to remember this. Al Yoyim HaBelibay Chaz V'Sholom. A person should never say, Kimo Ani, what am I? What am I able to accomplish with my lowly actions? I'm just a lowly human being. What am I able to accomplish? What can I accomplish with my sayash falim, he says, with my lowly maisim? On the miyovin, he says, a person should understand the yeda and to know the yikva b'machshavoy sliboy. He should establish clearly in his mind firmly, should call protei mas of all the details of his actions, the diburov and his words, the machshavoy of and his things that he thinks about. Call aids, but they're not lost. And he says, and they have tremendous impact not only here on this world, but they have tremendous impact on Shemayim as well. There's a tremendous power, he says, that every Yid has, if he's endowed with this great neshama, so he has to understand this greatness. And you know, the famous word is the Sefer Al-Ishar, Rav Shlomo Volbe brings down B'Shem Demir Mashgiach, Rabbi Ruchim. Rabbi Ruchim said, is known, he says, it's a terrible thing, he says, when a person does not recognize his faults, his chesroinus. It's a terrible thing. But it's even worse when a person does not recognize his milus. That's even worse. A person has to recognize his milus. That's working on the positive side too. Terrible thing if you don't know your faults, but it's even worse if you don't know the positive things about yourself. A person has to recognize his milus. Very, very important. So he said like this, when Hillel said, Imein ani li mini, if I'm not for myself, Imein ani li mili, who is for me? Shani li yatsmi, and if I am for myself, what am I? So what is he saying? Imein ani li, if I don't understand, he says, the ani, that I really mean something, then mili, then nobody can really help me. In other words, the idea is to come to realization and you have to understand that you have worth, that you have self-worth. So, im ein ani li, if I don't have the ani within me, is the Denmili. Then them, the truth is, I can't really be helped. The way to help me, the first step to being helped is to understand that you mean something, that you have worth. And then he says further, but when I think I can do it all by myself, without the aid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, said Emoni, what am I? In other words, with all the miles, with all the talents in the world. There were many people who had a lot of talents, right? And everybody weren't able to accomplish much. And yet, you saw people with a little less talent, and they were. So at the end of the day, you have to have the Sati Shema, you have to have the aid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he said, Hashem, Ani le'atzmi, if the Ani is all for me, if I think it's all about me, said then Emoni. At the end of the day, he says, what am I going to be? I'm not going to be. So there's two things. You have to believe in yourself, and at the same time also recognize with all the talents that you have, you also have to come on to the aid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the truth is, just before we start, just one more small thing. We know that Yosef HaTzadik, when he had his tremendous nesoy and his challenge with the wife of Eishes Potiphar, and he was able to withstand the temptation. Now, what was the secret? What gave him the power to be able to withstand? So you know, the Gemara says in Sota, Daf Lamed Vav, the Gemara says, what came is at that moment the image of his father came to him, Yaakov Avinu came to him. And what did he say to him? So the Gemara says, Bois Shah Bosa the Yukud Shalovit, the tzur of his father, the image of his father came, Viniraloi, and appeared to him. Omaloi, and he said to him, Yosef, I want you to know, when it'll come, by the way, you'll know there's going to be a Beis Hamikdash. And we're going to have a Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol is going to wear, right, the special begotten that the Kohen Gadol wears, you're going to have the Choshim. You have the breastplate. The breastplate are going to have the names of all the Shvatim. Do you want your name to be missing from there? In other words, if you default here, and basically if you're not able to meet the challenge over here, your name will be lost forever, eternally, from being engraved together with all of the other tribes. Which means when Yosef understood that his name is going to be written on the Choshen, he's destined to have greatness. He'll be a part. That held him back. If you recognize, you recognize that you're going to lose greatness. You recognize that you have within yourself, you have yourself the potential of greatness. You don't want to lose that. All for nothing. It's not worth it. Because for a temporary, right, for temporary 5-minute enjoyment, 10-minute enjoyment, you don't want to lose something that has eternal and worth, which is for all time. So that's the Nikuda. That was the first thing that we had. That was actually last week. So we go now to today's. Let's go. Let's see what Rabbi Eliezer has for us over here. So, as for starters, what Ben Yonah really is trying to tell us here, and this is the point that he wants to point out, is that regarding here, so of course in the world there are many, many nations. And of course he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Klal Yisrael, the Bnei Yisrael, from all of the nations. So we say in the Davening Ganyonte, we say, Atu Bochatonu Mekol Amim. Right? Because well, you chose us from all the nations. Now, all the nations have a purpose in the world. There's no question. That's why they're here. But because well, you chose Klaus, so they have a very special mission in the world. So Rabbi Yonah goes out to point out how this works. Kadosh Baruch Hu basically chose Klal Yisrael from among the nations, but then Kadosh Baruch Hu made subdivisions within the Jewish people themselves. There's also subdivisions, and Kadosh Baruch Hu chose also groups from groups, right? And chose certain people from certain people. Different groups were given different obligations, different responsibilities, and therefore there are special tasks that are given to special groups, and also extra responsibilities that were given to certain people. So basically here, what we're going over here now, starting in Beis, what we're going to find out, the choosing of the Bnei Yisrael over the nations of the world, that's one thing. Then also the choosing of Shevet Levi. Levi has been chosen from among the Jewish people, so Levi now have been chosen from the rest of the Bnei Yisrael. As far as land is concerned, Eretz Yisrael has been chosen to be very particular, special over all the other lands, and within Eretz Yisrael itself, Yerushalayim happens to be chosen over the rest of Eretz Yisrael itself. So you see, chosen, or within chosen, within chosen, within chosen, specifically we have all these different subdivisions. And here we go on as he starts out, for starters, we begin the following. So he says the following, Yesh Ranu Ludas. Then Yonah says it's very important for us to know. It's important for us to know, he says, to realize. Keshem Yisbarach, he says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Baruch Hu, Baruch Hu Yisrael Mikol Shivim Umos. Because Baruch Hu selected the Bnei Yisrael from amongst all of the 70 nations. Now if you go today, there's many more than 70 nations. There's hundreds of nations, literally. But nevertheless, all of them are offshoots of the original 70 nations. What that basically means is, if you look in the Chumash, you're going to find that you start out when after the flood, after the Mabul, when Noach began to rebuild the world. So you have the 70 nations, if you come out over there later, and basically all the other nations are all offshoots from basically from the 70 nations. That's why all the nations, no matter how many they are identified in short as being from 70 nations. So the point is, from all the nations of the world, no matter what the number is, you have to realize that Hashem is Baruch. He said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem, that He chose Bnei Yisrael Mikol Shivim Mumis, from all the Shivim Mumis. Mipnei Shehei Mekaimen HaTorah VaMitzvos. The reason, because they uphold the Torah and the Mitzvos, not simply they uphold it. They uphold it Be'ema U'Be'ira, out of fear and awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Out of the fear and awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is how they uphold the Torah and the Mitzvos, and they do it B'chol Levavam U'B'chol Nafshom, with their entire heart and their entire soul. Shenemar. And he goes down and he brings a series of different psukim for that. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Hayoyim Hazeh Hashem Elokecho Mesav Chol Asris. Now this Pasuk is a Pasuk in Parashas Kisovoi. The Pasuk says, Hayoyim Hazeh, that on this particular day, Hashem Elokecho Mesav Chol Asris, and I'm telling you the end of the Pasuk because it does not bring the whole Pasuk. It says V'goyim, etc. But the Pasuk reads, Hayoyim Hazeh Hashem Elokecho Mesav Chol Asris, Esachukim Wa'ilah, Hashem command you to do these statues, there's the Mishpatim, Pasis O'Oysom B'chol Avavcho B'chol Nafshecho. So clearly says it's not enough simply by rote to do the mitzvahs, but you have to do it with your heart and soul. You have to do it with your heart and soul. That's what it says, Shenema, Hayoyim Hazeh Shemukecho Mesav Chalasos. The Iker was called after that. The main point is, what does it say after that? Mesav Chalasos, how? To do it, says, B'chol Avavcho B'chol Nafshecho. To do it with all your heart. And then furthermore, Ksiv. And then the Pasuk says, Es Hashem He'emarto. Now that Pasuk which says that Hashem Hemato, the Pasuk reads, again, he does not bring the whole Pasuk, so then we're a little bit of a handicap unless you open up the Chumash, so I'll tell you what it says there. As Hashem Hemato, let's read what it says after that. Uksev also says, Vahashem Hemilchaim. What do these words mean? Well, if you look in Rashi over there, you see, because there's many different interpretations also. But in a nutshell, what it basically means is, as Hashem Hemato Hayim, means the Pasuk is saying that we have distinguished Hashem from all the other religions, from all the other so-called gods. Hemato means separate. Rashi says Hemato from Loshon Havdola. Hemato from Loshon Hafrosh is separating. So Hashem gives credit to the Jewish people. As Hashem Hemato Hayim, you have separated. What Hemato means separate. You have separated Hashem from all the other possible religions, right, that people follow or pursue. In exchange of that, Hashem has done the opposite also. He has distinguished you from all the people of the world. That's the next pasuk. Uksiv, Vashem Hemircha Hayoim. So Hashem also distinguished you. We distinguished and chose Hashem over all the others. By the same token, Kodesh Baruch Hu also distinguished and separated us from all the others. To the extent of how that goes, we'll see a little bit later, we'll see on the sheet how far that goes. But it's an incredible thing, idea. We find that we have distinguished Hashem from all the other religions, from all the other... And reciprocating that, it comes that Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Hashem Hemilchayim, Kodesh Baruch Hu also distinguished us. So that's again, this is the idea that he started out to say in the first line. That Hashem is Baruch Hu Yisrael Mikol Shivim Umos. And it says further, what the Pasuk say? The Pasuk says there, Ulesitcha Elyoin Al Kol Goyo Oretz. The Pasuk says that Kodesh Baruch Hu has made you supreme over all the nations. Hashem has made you supreme over all the nations. Okay, so that's one nekuda. Then he goes further, and the other man, he says, we also have, which is another post. This is now the interesting. Why he? If you open up a chumash, you see the psukim that is till now. These psukim were parshas Kisovoi. Now the next one he's bringing, the other man, now is in parshas Ekev. It's not clear. Some mafreshim are bothered. They're not clear why he first chose to go to parshas Ekev, to parshas Kisovoi. Now he's going backwards to parshas Ekev. But either way, these are the psukim that tried to make the point. What does it say further? The other man, the pasuk says, "Va'atu Yisrael." Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to Klal Yisrael, and now he says, but now Yisrael, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoel Mimach. What is it that Hashem wants from you? So Moshe Rabbeinu said to Klal Yisrael, what does Hashem want you? He only wants one thing. What does it say after that? Well, it says V'goyim, he says etc. Right? So we'll have to tell you what it says later. We know that pasuk, we're a little more familiar with that pasuk. Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoel Mimach, what does Hashem want? Kim Liyiras Hashem Elokecha. That's what it says. To fear Hashem Elokecha, says the pasuk. Hashem wants you to fear Ruleches B'chol Derochov, Ula Ahava Oisoi, and to love Hashem. That's what Hashem wants from you. Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoel Mimach, Kim Liyuras Hashem Elokecha. There's a fascinating thing that Kodesh Baruch Hu is asking, what Kodesh Baruch Hu wants from you is Yiras Shemayim. Put you that fear of heaven. person should stand in awe before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Shoyel, right, is a word, because Shoyel means to ask. Mevakesh also means to ask. Mevakesh. The Pasuk advisedly uses Moshe Mekach Shoyel. Instead of saying Moshe Mekach Mevakesh Mimcha, what is this I'm seeking from you? Shoyel. Moshe Mekach Shoyel Mimcha. So the Sefer Mishmeres Halozef, Reb Shol Brach, who's Rav in Kasho, he says very interesting lach. He says, Moshe Mekach Shoyel Mimach. It's a very fascinating thought. He says, there's a Gemara in Brach Islam at Gimel. The Gemara says, Lama Gimel on the days, Eima HaKadosh Baruch Hu Boi Lomoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, in this world, what is very special for him? So the Gemara says, is, Oitze Shal Yerushalayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a treasure house, where he keeps the Yerushalayim. You know, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu treasures. Eima HaKadosh Baruch Hu Boi Lomoi, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, what's important to him in this world, it's an oitzer. It's a treasure trove of Yerushalayim. Now, oitzer usually means the person has a treasure chest, he puts in stuff. So what does it mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts in Yerushalayim? It seems like this. People have Yerushalayim, right? People have Yerushalayim. So it seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an oitzer. He preserves it. He takes the Yerushalayim and puts it into there. What about there's so many other mitzvahs, right? Why doesn't he put the mitzvahs? Why did he put the mitzvahs that he didn't perform? What does it mean he puts the mitzvahs? He has an oyser of Yerushalayim. What does it mean he has a treasure of Yerushalayim? A treasure box of Yerushalayim. So he said a very fascinating thing. So Shobrach said the following, he says, people in life encounter very frightening situations. Many times, they're in areas, especially if they're traveling out of town, and maybe on a lonely highway, they find situations where they're frightened. They may be attacked, and they may be hurt, they may be brutalized. What is the most, right, if they're given the choice, what would they want, right, at a time when they are cornered, when they feel helpless? Well, what they would want is that if they would be able to have a fear instilled on those who try to attack them. That'd be the most fervent thriller that a person has when he's in a spot of danger, is in an area of danger. What you would like is that if you'd be able to project an air of fear on those who are trying to attack you, they should keep away. So Shobach suggests the following. When you have your Shemayim for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have fear from heaven. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the same fear and he'll pay it back to you. There comes a time when you need others should fear you. So according to the measure, Midah Kereged Midah, according to how much your Shemayim you have towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that same amount of your Shemayim HaKadosh Baruch Hu will return to you, he'll pay you back. When it comes times that you need, sometimes a person takes a trip through the jungle for whatever reason he wants, right? And he's being attacked by wild animals. What he would like at the moment is the animal should be afraid of him. Well, you know what? The measure of your Shemayim that you add to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pay you back, that others should fear you too. HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts the your Shemayim in an oitzer. What do you mean he puts it in an oitzer? To be able to give it back to you. That's what an oitzer means, it's preserved. The time comes when you need, others should fear you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take the your Shemayim that you add towards him and give it back so that you should be able to enjoy it. So he says, Shoyel has two meanings. Shoyel means what? Shoyel means to request. Shoyel means to borrow. Your Shemayim, you're borrowing because Kohen is going to pay it back to you. Moshe Mekach Shoyel Mimach, not Mevakesh. Kodesh Baruch Hu is borrowing. Shoyel is a lashon for borrowing. Because all your Shemayim that you got towards Kodesh Baruch Hu, comes a time when you need that others should fear you as well. Kodesh Baruch Hu will give you back that your Shemayim, and in fact, they will also fear you. So that's a very interesting thought. Okay, so we go further. There's another posik. The Pasuk says, Hei na Hashem Elokecha HaShemayim. The Pasuk says, Hei na Hashem Elokecha HaShemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the entire universe, the heavens, the earth, and everything that's in it. And yet, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns everything, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, everything belongs to Him, He controls everything, but where does, if we can express ourselves that way, where in everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns, where does HaKadosh Baruch Hu's pleasure, as it were, lie? In everything that He owns. V'oimah says the Pasuk, Rak only b'vaisecho choshak. And here again, doesn't bring the whole Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Rak b'vaisecho choshak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu treasures and cherishes, He says, your ancestors. And the Pasuk says later after that, Yivchar b'zarom achreim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose the offspring of your ancestors, after Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So it comes out of the entire universe. And we have no, of course, no idea. We can't fathom the vastness, the amount, how little we know, how minuscule, right? How much the vastness of the universe and all the planets and everything that is involved and above and beyond. And that's only talking about this world. And what about doing in the upper worlds and so on? So of everything, everything, everything. What does the Pasuk say? Hei Hashem Elokecha HaShemayim. Right? Because Baruch Hu belongs, everything belongs to him. He has the Shemaim, and he has the earth, everything he has. And yet, Rak, nevertheless, by the way, Rashi says that Pshat, in Chumash. For Afal Pikein, even though Kodesh Baruch Hu has everything, Afal Pikein, what does the Kodesh Baruch Hu cherish most? Bavo Yisrael and Bezalel, and the ancestors, and the children, which means Klal Yisrael that follow that. However, so now we have to fit into the uniform. We have to fit into the uniform. So what do we have to do? Survivors, so comes another posik. In order to be able to fit, to become, as we said, to be children of royalty, to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children, so therefore we have to wear the uniform. So what do we have to do? So therefore, Vayomer, so we have to perfect ourselves. So the posik therefore says, Umaltem es olas levavchem. Remove the barrier. Remove, he says, the barrier of your hearts. In order to remove the impurities. Mal means to circumcise. There's the physical circumcision and there's the spiritual circumcision. The spiritual circumcision is to remove all the impurities that you have in your heart, to be able to remain pure before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Pasuk is saying. Continues some further. This Pasuk says further, Hashem Voimah says Hashem Alakhotira. It says a person should instill the fear of Hashem in your heart. Hashem Alakhotira. And then it says, Hu Tihiloscha, because Baruch Hu should be your praise, the Hu Elokecha, and He's your God. Okay, this again the commitment. The commitment that Eid has, to Kodesh Baruch Hu. V'yomer, then there's a pasuk that we say in Krishma every day. V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha, and of course we know the ending of that. B'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol meidecha. A person is commanded to love Hashem with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his possessions. So push comes to shove, of course, it's a religion or giving up anything else. So Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's what comes first. And that's what we have seen, that even through the time, trying times, through the times of the Inquisition and so on and so forth, people were not ready to renounce their Judaism last moment. And I think what comes to mind is, I guess we can say, Daniel Pearl said, I die a Jew and I was a Jew. But not allow, right, the last moment of life, right? No matter, the knife is on his neck. This is what is still the last moment. And this is something from somebody who was not particularly so religious. And yet you see, this is the neshama of Eid. This holds the power of Eid. Mamsha, the moment, even when you have, the knife is around his neck. And that's the idea, b'chol nafshecha, with all your soul, with all your being, with your complete being. That's demonstrated. That's v'ahavta Hashem Elokecha. Voimer. And then the Pasuk says, ki mi goy gadol, and he says v'goimer. Again, he does not bring the whole Pasuk. This pasuk, Kimi Goy Godol. So the pasuk says, Kimi Goy Godol Asher Lo Yelikim Kerovim Elof Kashem Elokeinu B'chol Kareinu Elof. What that pasuk is saying, there's no nation that's so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we call upon Him. Other nations can also pray, but there is a higher level and a closeness and a swiftness and a quicker road that a Yid has. It's like making a long distance call but going very instantaneously, very quickly. That's Kimika goal. There is no nation that has this close relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that whenever we call upon Him we are able to reach Him. That's what's Kimika Godel. And then it says further another thing. And Omigoy Godol, says the Goimer, that's the other posik. And where else do you have a nation, what does it say after that, that has a Torah that teaches us the right way, Chukim Mishpotim Tzadikim, righteous laws, Kechola Torah Zois, as the Torah that we have. And so on. And then the posik says further, Ve'eschem Lokach Hashem. The posik says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose you again. It's another posik that talks about Hashem choosing us from all the nations. And it says further, Ki Am Kodesh Atel Hashem Lekecho. You have to be a holy nation. And finally, Ve'omer, right before acceptance of the Torah, the posik told us, this is in Parshas Yisro, see, now it's going back. Ve'ato now, this was the introduction to Kabbalah HaTorah, when we received the Torah. Im Shemoya Tishma Bekoil, if you'll only listen to my voice, as Hashem, Ve'atem Tili Mamleches Koihanim, you'll become a kingdom, right? You'll become a kingdom of ministers, Ve'goi Kodesh, and you'll become a holy nation. Mamleches means royalty. Ba'atem tili mamleches koyanim. And what does the Kliyoka say over there? Mamleches means a king. When a king proclaims something, it's an obligation for all the subjects to listen. It's a mind-boggling thing, but you know what the Gemara says? That tzadik goyzer HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekayim, because Baruch Hu gave the power of the tzadik, that if he decrees, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens, HaKadosh Baruch Hu acquiesces. Kodesh Baruch Hu fulfills the wishes of a tzaddik. Tzaddik goyza Kodesh Baruch Hu mekayim. In a certain sense, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us dominion over him. that when we daven to him, especially when you're talking about a tzaddik, if a tzaddik says, this is, Baruch Hashem, please do this, I'd like you to do this, and so on, Kodesh Baruch Hu Mekayim, Vatim Tiyulim Mamleches Koyim, Mamleches means people of royalty, kings over whom? Even kings can be ochel on a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So we said, Reb Tzadik HaKoyim says, which is, again, if he wouldn't say it, we'd be able to say pshat like this in the posik. We say, Adonai Olam Hashem Molach, B'terem Kol Yitzir Nevro. So Tzadik HaKoyim said the following. It's an amazing, amazing thing. We say to Kodesh Baruch Hu, now who can say this? Because Baruch Hu gave us the ability. Adonai Olam, you are the master of the world. So we say, Asher Molach, past tense. What do you mean, past tense? You're used to royal. You used to be. When? B'terem Kol Yitzir Nevro. Before you created mankind. Because now that you created mankind, they have dominion over you. So it means Kibyol HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the ability to be a melech over him. Past tense. When past? B'terem Kol Yitzir Nevro. Before HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the formation of all the creatures of the world. And finally, the pasuk says, Kodesh Yisrael Hashem, that Klal Yisrael is holy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? You are the purpose of creation. I'm proud of you. It was you who I meant when I created the world. That's the last pasuk in Yeshaya. Yisrael, Asher Becho Espoir. Avdiyato. That's the beginning of the pasuk. Because Baruch Hu says, you are my servant. You serve me appropriately. Yisrael, you serve me appropriately. Asher Becho Espoir. And you are the one in whom I take pride. And which means to say is that because Baruch Hu created the world, there's so many people and so many different nations. Because Baruch Hu had in mind when he created the world was not because of the nations. The nations have a purpose in the world. But the purpose, main purpose was to bring down the Torah to the Jewish people and they should serve Hashem. So this basically, this is the segment here that we have here in the Shal Avodah. And we're going to find out some of the things here, we're going to see here on the sheet that we have over here. So quickly, let's take a look. Let's see how much we cover here in the remaining moments. Okay, the first item that we have over here, is from the late Leo, as you see, from Leo Lapian, one of the great Balamuser. And he brings it the following. This is basically, we brought this because Rabbi Yonah brought us the posik. It's Hashem Hemarta Hayoim. Being that we distinguished Hashem right from all the other religions, so the posik says in exchange, Hashem Hemircha Hayoim. So Hashem also distinguished you from all the nations. So let's take a look here. First four lines is basically from the Gemara in Brachos. Beneath the Gemara Brachos Dav. Right? The Gemara tells us in Brachos Davov. Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying to Klal Yisrael. Atem Asisuni, he says, Atem Asisuni Chativa Achaz Boilam, you made me a special entity in the world. You made me a unique entity in the world. Shenema, because the Jewish people say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, there's only one God. So you, by saying Hashem Echad, you made me a unique entity in the world. You know what? So Ani, he says, I also Eschem Chativa Achaz Boilam. Also, I will also make you a unique entity in the world. Shenema was the other posik. U'mika amcha Yisrael goyechod. Right, Boaz. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem, you said Hashem Echad. I'm also saying Echad on the Jewish people. U'mika amcha Yisrael goyechod Boaz. There's no other nation like a goyechod Boaz, like we have over here. They say the story that was in Lakewood, there was somebody that was posing as a Jew. And then it turns out that really was not a Jew. That is supposed to be a convert, but it turns out that he was not really a convert either. But he happened to be quite successful, posing as a Jew for quite a while. Then he found out that really he's not Jewish. So they said, "Mikam Chisrael Goyechad Boaz." There was one Goy among the Jewish people. So this was the pasuk. All right. So let's take a look now. So Rodova Niflo, he says, "Mamisha Pelde Gzav Kavon Amuka." There's a Dovah Niflo in a deep Kavona, the Bir Divra Chazal, Eru Bir Hagoyna Sadik, Saba Kedishi, says one of the elder, Rabbi Yo Lapian Zatzal, Besefa Levi, Leo Chele Gimel. He said, first let's understand something. The Tchila Yesh Lohoven, let's understand when we say, Oitzim Chashive Shol Tchila Samaymer. Let's understand the first part. The first part is, Atem Asisuni Chativ Achaz Boilom. But we have made HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Echativ Achaz Boilam, we have made HaKadosh Baruch Hu a unique entity. Right? What does that mean? Well, it starts out to mean is Shalom and Avraham Avinu started out with Avraham Avinu because he was the first one, right, that turned around the world to try to enlighten the world, to try to enlighten that there is a God in the world, that there is one. K'mavur b'Rambam, as the Rambam points out in Perek Aleph, in the first Perek of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, the Rambam points out Ha'anim HaKadmonim, the original ancient people Hoyotoyim, that there were people, basically there were people that were just lost. People lost. They didn't really know. Umatim as boy oilam emoim, and they would also basically bring in and other people also would stray with them. The Abdul Kalmini Avodah Zarah, and they basically worship all different Avodah Zarahs. You can see themselves. This one believes in this Avodah Zarah, this one believes in that Avodah Zarah. Everyone in a different Avodah Zarah. Ubitayim shel bayrus v'shiflus. It was, he says, it was a depth. It was a depth of ignorance and lowliness. Entire mankind was steeped, he says, in a depth of ignorance, not having any notion of really who is the true master of the world. Ad shebo til came Am Yisrael. So the Jewish people really taught the world the concept of one God. The Hischil Lamed and Avraham Avinu began to teach L'chol Olam es Achdus Hashem. There's only one Rabbi Nishlonam. She's Rak Boire Echot. Rak Shalit Echot Boilam, only one ruler. Hu HaYoser, he is the one, like, who created the world. Vamanik, not only created the world, he runs the world. As he pointed out on Shabbos, there are many who want to acknowledge that Hashem created the world, but I'm the manager, he believes. I manage the world. No. But Yibor not only created the world, he also manages the world. All the powers and the opposite of all the powers in this direction and the opposite in the opposite direction. Sheberon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything with Tayelus Adam for the purpose, for the betterment of mankind. By the way, why are there positive and negative in the world? Because man has that free choice. That's your purpose. Otherwise, if you be a robot, there's no point in being born. So Hashem, therefore we have all the different things, good and bad. You have evil, and you have the positive and the good. Why? And there has to be a balance about a person to be able to have free choice. To be able to choose the way of life. Right? Within the confusion of the powers of Ra and Toiv. Now, so far it's quite simple. Look at the next statement. Now, when we say Hashem is one, you have to understand what that means. When you say Hashem is one, it's easy to say someone. You know, when you have something, you know, one of a kind of something, you also say it's one of a kind. So you think Hashem is just one. It's much different than that. An apple is also one of a kind, because an apple is not an orange is not an apple. It's also one of a kind. But the point is, but the apple is not necessarily more important than the orange. Or the orange runs a close second. Or the orange is more important. Yeah, the orange is one of a kind, because all the other fruits are not oranges. It's one of a kind. But all the others are equally as important as that fruit, or they run a close second. When you say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one, it means that there's nothing that comes close that can even be compared. In other words, there's nothing that's second to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so far removed, he's so unique, and so above and beyond, that anything else does not even come close to compare. So it's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one, and something else is number two. When you have a hierarchy of things that are more or less one and the same, you say this is more important, this is second in line, this is third in line. When what Avraham Avinu taught, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's uniqueness is, he is so unique in a sense that there's millions of miles of distance from anything that could even compare, and there's nothing to compare. How do we say in Adonai Olam? We say V'hu Echad. Echad is not enough, but then Sheni. Because always there's an Echad, there's a Sheni. So Echad is still Echad. No, that's not enough. It's not enough to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Echad if there's something a Sheni. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Echad means he's one, but there's no Sheni. There's no Sheni even Lahamshil. There's nothing even that can be compared. Forget about it. There's nothing like Hashem. But there's nothing that can even be Lahakbir. There's nothing that can even come close. Which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so unique that there's nothing that even has any comparison to any closeness, to the greatness, right, and the uniqueness of Hashem. That's what is meant. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem is so unique that he is, by the way, he's the completeness of all the milas in the world. There's no imperfection of Hashem. Look at the next paragraph. Habayiru Kalil Hashleimus Vatoiv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the completeness of all the shleimus of all the good. The Nala, and he's way above from the comprehension that no human mind can comprehend Hashem. The Nala, who is way above Mahasogis called Nivra. Any creature that tries to be masik, tries to comprehend Hashem is above that. Nala. Mufshetu betachlis hafshote. He is removed
He removed to infinite, to the infinite removal. Hashem is removed from any mind comprehending Hashem. The Ein L'Shum Nivra, there is no creature, Yediyah, Utfisis Machshove, Koshihi, not even a little bit in the Musa of Hashem. It's not that we don't comprehend Hashem. You don't even a Mashu, even a little bit. Even minuscule, we have no Hasoga, we have no comprehension at all. The Ein Limtze B'Shum Dova Nivra. And you cannot point out to any creature here that comes close to say that this has some connection that, to compare to Hashem. There is no Nivra Shabishamayim even in heaven. It's not even a reflection of a reflection. That's the next word. That's not even a Ezer Bevoya Shal Bevoya. Bevoya means reflection. It's not even something, a reflection of a reflection of a reflection of Hashem. Nothing, he says. Because Hashem is Echod Ve'en Shein Ilham Shal Rabiru. That is what we mean when we say Achdus Hashem. Achdus Hashem means so unique, so far removed, far. We can't even comprehend how unique he is. Now listen to the punchline. It's an incredible punchline. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you made me so unique, so I'm going to make you also so unique. Which means when we say that Klal Yisrael, Mika'am Yisrael Go'echad Baretz, does not merely mean they are one among the nations. But in the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one, that there's nothing that can be compared, that there's millions of miles, to millions of miles, right, from anything that we know of to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the distance is so vast. So Rabbi Lapian the following. Rabbi Lapian said the following. And I said this, I'm going to tell you before. I said this over many years. I think it was like 25, 30 years ago. It was in Chicago. Rav Chaim Levin, Rosh Yeshiva of Pels, was there. And was getting very nervous. I'll tell you what he said. And I told it over to someone that he got nervous. He said, let him take a tranquilizer if he's getting nervous. Rabbi Lapian is saying it. So this is what he says. Okay? He said, if we say, we made Hashem, Kodbogu says, Atam asisuni chati v'achas boilam. You made me a unique entity. Listen to the word. You made me a unique entity. You that can mean what? Avdus Hashem means not just Tam Hashem is one. Hashem is so unique, it means there is nothing that can compare. So there's millions of miles of distance, billions, right? Of distance between anything on this world to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's so vast and so far away. So Rabbi Lapian said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm giving you back the same uniqueness. Which means to say, listen to this, the same distance that there is between human beings, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, millions of miles of distance, the same distance there is between a Yid and a Goy. The same distance that there is between human beings, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so far, the same distance. Afani Esa Eschim Chatir Va'achas Boilam. Says that is what the Pshat is of a Yid. If you take a look, Va'atom is born. Look at the third paragraph, Va'atom. Look at his words, Va'atom. Vatun is boyne no dobe nifla. The kibiyochel ke achdusa shel aboyer in the same way that Hashem is unique. Lagabe nivroyim shehu merchek nizgir v'noy, which is a moirige distance. Kein hu achdusa shel am yisrael lagabe o amim. V'zehu dobe hafla v'felis is Rabbi Lapian. The merchek ahevgel ben yisrael hagoy. The distance. Right, the distance between a Yid and a Goy was mamish b'doymer le'mirchek ahevgul shel aboyer le'gabe hanevroim. That's what Chazal meant. Atem asesuna, you made me chati v'achas boilam. You made me unique. The same kind of uniqueness is Klal Yisrael also. Having to do with that, was meant a Yid. Masuge, what it means a Yid. So I want to show you, just to understand that, to show what a Yid is. And this is something, if you see, in the Sefer Shalom Bichov Yagetcho that we have over here, the Shalom Shadron, and I saw it with this, I'm bringing it from that Sefer, Shalom Bichov Yagetcho, but from the time of the Holocaust, the legendary Hatzol Askin, Bechol Bev Eismandel, right? Famous, legendary Hatzol Askin, wrote a Sefer called Min HaMetzar. Min HaMetzar, he writes his personal, the efforts, Hatzol efforts of saving Jews from the Holocaust, and by the way, he was successful in saving thousands of Jews, but his heart never stopped bleeding for the fact that it had only been money we could have saved more. That's what it was. Money, that's all that you needed. You could have saved them, and not all that much money. But in those days, and the idea was, what are you going to raise money from? Get money from America. American Jews, half of them didn't believe it. Half of them did believe it, but they figured, listen, the money's not going to help, and so on and so forth. It's not so easy. And therefore, as much money as he raised, he was able to save thousands of Jews. But when he came to America, ultimately, he would break down day after day, just in the middle of the day, just break down and cry, because his heart, by the way, he sent to the President of the United States at the time, his plans, of exactly where the Americans should bomb, he said, the railways leading to Auschwitz. He said, we're taking you to Auschwitz. of course, paid no heed to that. It just fell on deaf ears, and so on. He was a genius of a man. We're talking about his Zatzolaskim. He was a tremendous Tamtachon, tremendous Goyen. He was a tzaddik, not just because he saved Jews, he was a tzaddik of other, but just a tzaddik, and just by nature, his avodas Hashem, the way everything in his life. He was a genius of a man. The Satan Rav used to consult him when it comes to doing mathematical equations, like building a mikveh, certain situations with Williamsburg many, many years ago. And he was a person who had a lot of knowledge and a lot of disciplines and a lot of areas. Michal Ber Weissmandel. Yeah, great man, and he died very young of a heart attack. He was just in his 50s, and all the stories took a toll on his heart. He died in 1958. That's when he passed away. So let's take a look here. So he writes in his sefer. He writes here, number two. We have the second item here. Dagosa achreina shel Yehudi. He said the last worry. What is a yid? A yid is on the cattle car being taken to Auschwitz. What was a Jew thinking of? So this is what he wrote. This is personal memoir he wrote. Harav Michal Ber Weissmandel, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Mesaper b'sifrei Min HaMeitzar. He writes in the Sefer Min HaMeitzar. Maisa Martit, he says, it's a frightening, he says, it shakes you up. The Yehudi regarding a Jew, Lekuach Lamovitz, that was taken to his death. He was already betoich koroin harkeves. He was already in the wagon of the train. Shelatoicha, which in that wagon nitvichu, they pushed in hamoyne yehudim. Right? They pushed in throngs of Jews. Pushed them in. Kedel hasiyam, in order, right, to bring them, to transport them lemachna hashmode, right, to the extermination camps. Jews were pushed in. So this year, that time when a yid is being taken and he knows where he's being taken, gilos leva hayehudi amir, that's when the Jewish heart came out. Kesed hu mekayim, how he's mekayim, how he fulfills, when the pasuk says to have pity on all of Hashem's creations. V'rachem kol ma'aso. Hoy is there. This ma'aso was ba'achas ma'ayores Hungaria. It was one of the cities in Hungary. He says goye hu ayora. He says nikalu avheim liyad hataknas rekeves. He said what happens when Jews were taken away? So the non-Jews, many of them stand around, and many of them with glee, just watch how the Jewish were taken away. I mean, you hear from people, by the way, who had friendly relations with their Goyish neighbors, non-Jewish neighbors. Unfortunately, when the end came, so not only the friendship broke, but they were the ones who used to actually inform on them. They would inform. They would inform again to the Germans. You couldn't trust them, and there were people that were your neighbors. Your kids may have played with their kids, and so on and so forth. And you see the goyim were standing there, and just watching. So he says this was at a time goyim ayor. He says the people, the population of the city, Nikhalu, they all gathered around the atachnas harakevet, the station, the tzachaku besimcha, and they laughed right happily ubahanoa, with pleasure gluya al kach sheloichemoy. There's another transport being taken. He says legai hariga. He says to the place of extermination. He says, till the point at Shikasha Harkevist, his heel and soul, when the train started to move, they used to clap. The great used to clap. It's a fact of life. They used to clap. Oh, another successful extermination, a train leading Jews to extermination. I can tell you one thing. This was probably, I guess, something like 35, 40 years ago. I was in Amsterdam for something like just for a couple hours. The purpose was not to be in Amsterdam, because we had an aunt in Antwerp, and we sold as a 2-hour train ride to Amsterdam. That's all it is. Figure, you know what? Amsterdam has a lot of Jewish history there. Take a train ride to Amsterdam. This was without any preparation there. So going to Amsterdam, so going to a taxi. So what do you say to the taxi driver? Take me to the old Jewish section. There's a Spanish Portuguese shul over there, which is still from the 1700s. Or possibly from the 1600s, and that's from the time of the Chacham Tzvi were there, and all the great Gedolei Yisrael, Spanish. So I go there, of course, without any appointment, and it's locked. First of all, the Jews don't live there anymore. The Jews have long moved to a different area, but that shul still stands over there. It's like a museum, and certain hours you can go and visit, and so on and so forth. It was locked. So now I'm stuck over there. So I made my way over here. There's no way to get in. So I'm looking around to find a Jew, to be able to see somebody, maybe to tell me something about here, how to get in, or something about the area. I see at a distance, I see Chassidi Shiyid, about 2 blocks up, and it's on a hill. So quickly I run after him, black. And it's an old man, I bang him on the back, he turns around, and there's a cross going this way. He was a Galut, he was a priest. And I was standing in shock, and he saw that I made a mistake. I got to tell you, he puts his arms around me, and says, how can I help you? And I told him exactly where.
So he walks back. If the tell was not easy for him, he walks back. He stands over there, starts to tell him a little about it. But the point is, there was a tree, and there are train tracks running right through there. So he says to me, behind that tree, here's where I was standing, and I was watching, he says, as the Jewish people were taken away on these railroad tracks. This is the place, the tracks are still there. They were taken away down to Auschwitz. And he says to me, there were 80,000 Jews in Amsterdam, he says, before the war. Coming from a priest, he says. And Amsterdam has never been the same since the Jews left. This is what he said to me. So anyways, let's go for the mic. Let's finish the story over here. So the kids said, so let's sit on, as we have over here. So you had here, here's the transport, here the train is leaving, right? What is that? The train is leaving. And also there were some Jews that were not yet taken. So some Jews were not on the train. So they were watching with a heavy heart to see how the brothers are being taken away. So let's sit among those on the side were standing also a number of Jews, Mispa Yehudim, Shaleim Lechalo Gzeres Rishoyim. The Gzeres Rishoyim yet was not upon them. They were still able to stay behind. But they came simply to say goodbye. So those Jews that had the good fortune not to be drafted and to be pushed on the train, their time had not come yet. At least they went to say goodbye, to watch how their relatives or their friends are being taken away. The moment, that's Rabbi Weissman was writing this, said, the moment that the train started to move, one Yid sticks out his head through the window and he calls out to one of his friends, listen, I forgot to feed the chickens, he says, that I left behind. Do me a favor, go home to my house and feed the chickens. Said Rabbi Weissman, look at this, look at the heart of a Jew. This Yid is being taken. He knows this is his last ride in his life. Is this what he has in his mind? The Rachmanis of a Yid, at the last moment of his life, there's still enough room to have Rachmanis and to think about somebody. Not even another person, another animal. Chickens. Varach Makol Masav, he says. That is Mikam Chu Yisrael. That's again, Mikam Chu Yisrael Geyechbo. That's the Koyach of a Yid. Rachmanim Bnei Rachmanim. Interesting thing is that, there's a Rabbi Hollander, maybe some of you may still remember him. He was a rabbi at the Mount Eden Center in the Bronx. Rabbi Hollander, very good speaker. Rabbi David Hollander, very good speaker. And he was a brother of Moshe Sher, by the way. And anyway, so once the Gemara tells us that I feel a cher of chadu menachas al tzavor shalom, even when a sword is on a person's neck, don't give up to the last moment. Al yisyayish min arachmin. A person should not give up. In other words, daven to the last moment. You never know, a miracle might happen. I feel a cher of chadu, there's a sharp sword, right? Munachas al tzavor shalom. Al yisyayish min arachmin. Don't give up from rachmin. Don't give up. So he said another pshat. He said there's another meaning. Because we heard stories in the Holocaust, he said, where people, all they got is their ration. What did they get? Got a little half a slice of bread. And yet there was somebody, maybe for some other reason, right, was starving extremely. So what they were able to do is, they would even share from the little piece of bread that they had, they still were able to share with others. They shared with others what they didn't have. So they said like this. So you yourself are in danger, and yet you're able to share from that piece of bread with somebody else. Even there's a sword on your own neck, al yisyayish min arachmin, from having rachmanis on others. Even though your own life is in danger, you can still, there's still room to have rachmanis on others as well. That's the koyach of yid. That's the mika amcho yisrael koyecho beyaris. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, I mentioned we need to continue. Go farther. This is again, just remember again what it means to be a yid. Let's not forget that. And that, Rabbi Yisai, that is the void of a yid. That's something we have to work on. Okay.